Okay, girls, I want to set an intention for today's episode.
Okay. What's the intention?
I mean, we're setting our intentions, okay?
Okay, what is our intention?
Our Speak intention for the group. Is we are not going to
interrupt. What?
You dick. We are not going to interrupt one another today.
Okay, I promised other people I would interrupt. Okay. Well, hi, I'm Paulina.
I'm Quinn.
I'm Claire.
Hi, Claire.
And this is The Bits.
And this is The Bits. And this might be the episode that you hear me hit Paulina over the head with a microphone.
You're going to have to catch me.
What do you think that's going to sound like?
Ow! Yeah, I've been watching a lot of Olympics, so I'm fired up for
You're
a
feeling
chase.
Agile?
I'm feeling athletic.
Good. Yeah. I think many of us are. Can we actually talk about the opening ceremonies? Because that, despite many other highlights, that has been amazing.
Obsessed with the opening ceremonies this year.
All
Quinn,
right, guys.
Quinn has
so
her hand up.
First things first, it is an opening ceremony.
Yeah. I saw
there
ceremonies.
There is only one ceremony.
I saw multiple locations.
Okay.
It's all a part of one ceremony.
Okay, fine.
All right.
You're right, Quinn.
Okay, now you guys talk because I didn't watch it.
That's all you had to contribute is that it was just one ceremony and not like, okay, fine.
Okay,
well,
thanks.
It's grammatically incorrect and it drives me bananas.
Okay. Oh my God.
Well,
same
you
with
heard
the
it.
With the Stanley Cup finals when people said finals, it was like there's only one final.
I do think that
opening ceremony.
Okay, you're, keep
opening
right.
ceremony.
You know what? I do fear. I do have a fear. Can I just go on a little bit of a tangent here?
You know what?
Brief. Hey, no
you have the floor.
Thank you. I've noticed that when people reach a certain age, aka boomers, they start pluralizing everything. And I wonder if that is starting to happen to me. And I fear often that that will happen to me.
What's your favorite grocery store?
Safeways.
Safeways. Oh, you know, the Safeways.
I thought that was going to go in another direction. And I thought you were going to say the older that you get, and especially with boomers, they start correcting your grammar.
Oh.
As the elder statesman of the podcast.
Yeah.
Yes, I am here to correct grammar.
Okay, well,
I mean,
all y'all,
Quinn is absolutely correct. It is fully ceremony.
Yeah, okay. Hey, everyone. Let's talk about the opening ceremony.
Opening ceremony.
Not everyone liked it.
Oh, the Christians hated it. But did anyone else feel like they were on drugs watching that? Like, or wish they were?
It was so French. It was so France.
Yeah.
It was campy. It was over the top. It was cheesy. I was obsessed with all of it. And then you've got Celine Dion, who, as we know, has stiff person syndrome. And she is a beloved Canadian icon, and we all just wanted to like see her rise to the occasion, and she has one of the best voices of our time.
Yeah.
easily
yeah. of any
and
time,
to see
really.
Her deliver that performance, like chills. I had tears in my eyes. I didn't even know my eyes had that much like liquid inside of them, but
yeah, well, you don't drink
were.
A lot of water, so
I drink no water. It's amazing that all of these tears came out, but the floodgates were opened, and it's thanks to Celine. So I really enjoyed it.
I did too. And on the Celine front, we had seen all these sightings. She was feeding the media in the most gracious way, leading up to the opening ceremony. And I kept thinking that she was going to like reveal herself through the entire 3 hours. So
as
like
the masked.
Yes.
It's
but
like
or
the masked
anything.
Singer.
Like, she's the horse. She's definitely the horse.
Yeah, I know. Me
too. You know,
too.
Like literally anything. I thought for sure she was the warrior. And when they walk the flag down the big, long, like everything is so ceremonial. Like every
yes.
part of it takes so much time. And I was waiting at bated breath, expecting her to reveal herself.
Yeah.
only to be like, are you fucking kidding me? There's an hour left and we still gotta wait for Celine.
I know. I was like, okay, what? Like, when is Celine showing up? That is like the main reason I tuned in. But I enjoyed watching the opening ceremony.
It was amazing.
At Olympics past. I'm just looking at Quinn because now I'm very mindful not to pluralize
it. I will never
say like
ceremonies again.
Yeah.
Well, I'm happy for you. You'll sound like you know the English language. So that's great.
Jesus Christ. I know there was somebody riding in on a horse and I was like, that's her.
Me too.
And oh no, it was so anticlimactic to have her singing in front of the lit Eiffel Tower. We absolutely got ripped off.
I just think that whole thing it pushed so many boundaries. The Christians were mad. I loved that. It was so gay. It was an Olympic ceremony for the gays.
Yeah.
It was incredible.
Can we talk about the Christians for a second?
Yeah.
We don't like to get controversial on this podcast. Not really.
We're very straight edge.
But yeah, let's talk about Christians. Why not?
Well, let's dive into religion.
Religion.
But they're upset.
They are upset. There's been backlash against this one particular moment of the opening ceremony where there is a feast occurring and they're like, how dare you mock the
Last Supper.
The Last Supper. Mm-hmm. First of all, too soon. I get it. It's been
thousands of years.
It's been thousands of years too soon.
Yeah.
But it's also because there were drag queens and it was a bit gay and it was a bit campy, whatever.
It was mega
Again,
gay. It was mega
France.
Campy.
And it's like, this isn't even the Last Supper. This is the Feast of Gods about Dionysus. Yeah, it was a Greek reference, which makes sense because it's the Olympics. It's like, Christians, this is not always about you.
However, I don't think it was only that moment that upset them. There was
a
threesome.
Yep.
There was Marie Antoinette's with no head and lots of blood.
That was actually badass. That was my favorite part.
That was very cool. To like a French Nickelback, just like rocking out metal. It was unbelievable.
I love the idea of a French metal band.
I love a French Nickelback.
They're like, here's the rebellious side of Paris.
So good. The
They're
revolution.
Like the Petite Alouettes.
And then.
On Bastille Day.
They were, you know, walking the catwalk, like a nod to French fashion, obviously. But like tons of drag queens, queer everywhere. It was fucking awesome. Yeah. I was like, bottle this up. I want to drink it on every Friday night. This is unreal.
Oh, yeah. That'd be a good Friday night.
That'd be good Friday. I wanted to fly to France that night.
Oh,
I was
God,
like, who's with me? Let's go.
Although I have been in Paris during a major event, and it was Bastille Day. And let me just tell you, the French are not kind to visitors. And when the city is busy and you can't get a cab, no one is there to help you.
So my friend was at the opening ceremony. He is a bigwig at Lululemon, and so he was there. And he sent me a message saying, Parisians, do not fuck with the Olympics, a.k.a. they do not want you in their city.
No.
They are not happy about this. They want everybody out.
Well, they were shitting in the Seine.
No.
To try to send a message prior to. They were using it as a toilet because they are using the water for some aquatic events. And so they've been trying to tarnish it.
That also, so French. They're like, we don't want you here. Get out.
I also have news from an insider that Athletes Village is quite a party. And
for sure.
Cardboard beds are not a deterrent for any extracurricular activity.
But the cardboard beds are incredibly stable. No, they tend to hand out hundreds.
The British diver
did like it jumped on the bed.
Oh. Okay.
And would put it on Instagram. So, you know, I love him so much. I just can't. Tom Daly? Daly.
Yeah.
Daly.
Okay.
Yeah. No, it is. I have friends who are fellow or former Olympians, and there's a lot of banging. But if you think about it, why wouldn't there be?
To me,
it's all these like incredibly good looking athletic people coming together from all around the world. Like, please, where do I sign up? I signed up when I was a swimmer. I was just so crazy in the noggin that I never got good enough.
Oh.
Yeah, I wasn't mentally tough enough anyways.
To me, it sounds like working in Jasper Banff.
To me, it sounds like an episode of The L Word.
I like that version.
Yeah.
Obviously. But I do think that it sounds like I worked in Jasper for a few summers at the JPL, and friends that have worked in Banff, and it's like that. It's not as cool and sexy, clearly, because they're all Olympic athletes. But it does sound like that. I mean, we've all heard stories from our beloved mountain yes. towns and yes. the summer folks that visit to yeah. work there.
Yeah.
Okay, so Olympics, moving on. Any other final thoughts on the opening ceremony?
I
don't feel like I missed out.
Oh, Lady Gaga was
oh,
there.
Oh, Lady Gaga is so incredible.
If Celine wasn't there, this entire segment would be talking about Lady Gaga.
Yeah, and how
is
good...
Is that the French way to say it?
No, that's just how I say it.
How good Celine must be that Lady Gaga is basically an afterthought. Because right? she is also incredible.
She
what
was incredible.
What a performance. Yeah.
And that was also quite gay.
Of course, it's yeah. Gaga.
It's Lady Gaga, yeah.
It's amazing.
Yeah, let's get into some of the other stuff.
Well, let's talk about one of the biggest stories, totally. Which is the Canadian women's national soccer team.
Yeah.
Of course, if you're living under a rock, of course, they were caught using a drone to spy on New Zealand's practice. It is now coming out that this has been a longtime practice of coaches for the Canadian women's team. And so in as a punishment, FIFA took away 6 points. The Canadian girls went 3-0 in group play and have now qualified for the quarterfinals, all despite this. So they had 6 points taken away, which meant their first two wins. So they got the third win and are now advancing to the quarterfinal.
It's incredible.
It's an absolutely incredible story, the incredible resilience. And I stand by the fact that, you know what? The coaches can cheat
yeah.
and they can tell the players still have to execute. The players have to be good enough to do it and to beat the other teams. But I have a really interesting thing here. So I posted on Instagram the Athletes Canada. To the athletes on the Canadian women's soccer team, we stand with you. We support you. We are cheering for you. We are immensely proud of you. So it's basically standing up for them. It goes on a little bit longer, but this is the Canadian Olympic Committee's Athletes Commission. So I reposted it, and I had a friend say, and so I'll tell you right now, my original reaction was like visceral anger and like, what are you talking about? But I've thought about it, so I want to get your girl's thoughts. I don't know, man. You win as a team. Lose it as a team and cheat as a team.
I my initial reaction was more in line with that, honestly.
Okay.
But initially, but then I kind of gave it some thought and I was like, this isn't on the rest of the players, right? And they should still have a chance to compete. I do think that the punishment for the coach involved should actually be harsher than what it is, because putting the whole team at risk like that, where they could have very easily said, Canada, you're out. They could have.
Yeah.
It would have been a big move, but they could have done it. I think because you put them at such risk and do something so wildly irresponsible, selfish, stupid, like, I think that punishment should be harsher. But now, like, after my very initial reaction, I was like, no, the players still should have a chance.
But of course they should have a chance, and of course they've overcome that. But my reaction was like, this is an individual that made a choice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But we don't say that if the goalie lets in a bad goal, we say you yeah. lose as a team.
Okay, but she doesn't choose to let in the goal, right? And I think this yes. is different okay. because the coaches have their own strategy on how they're going to lead this team. And the players are not privy, nor are the administrative staff, support staff. Like, this was the decision of a small group, a core group. And I think it's really unfair to say that it's a reflection of the entire organization. Okay, so, but what I was going to say is that it's the decision of these coaches to do this. And I had a friend say, do we really think that this is an original idea from the Canadians? Like, whose idea was that? Because it's obviously a terrible idea And did they really think they were going to get away with it at the Olympics? It's so brazen.
But they've been doing it for years now.
Exactly. And so she said, you know, are we to think that this is a Canadian team problem?
Mm.
Like, or are they just making an example of it on a world stage? And they're making an example of the Canadians to crack down on something. And
so you think other teams have...
Yes, I do. And I thought that as soon as she said it, I was like, that makes so much more sense. Because do we really think Team Canada is the only team doing this? I just don't. And so then Bev Priestman's emails came out in the last couple of days. And they were alluding to this happening for years. I don't think decades, but like the last few years that she's been involved. And it was that all the top teams are doing it. That was the poll quote from her email. And it was kind of, to her defense, interwoven with speaking about scouting. So the context wasn't there. We didn't get the whole email. We kind of got sections of this email that were pulled into an article that I read on CBC. However, that kind of solidifies that thought where it's like, there's no way we are the only team that has ever done this. Were we the stupid ass ones that flew a drone in protected airspace during the Olympics?
It's pretty embarrassing.
It's super embarrassing. And it's so unfair to the girls, the women that are playing on the field and have
that
given up
so hard
much.
To get there and then to have somebody sabotage it.
Well, but then here's the other side. They talked about how some young coaches or support staff were asked to fly the drone, were asked to do it, and they said no, they didn't want to do it. Where was the integrity to stand up then?
How do you... That's... Yeah, but I also think, Quinn, and like, sounds like a culture problem for sure, and I'm not absolving...
Listen, Canada Soccer, probably one of the worst organizations on the planet.
Yeah, we know
they
this
are
already.
Not good at what they do. The women went to the World Cup at, like... after having to like basically strike to try to get money from Canada Soccer. It's a terrible organization, right? And
this.
Then and it's just sad now that we've been
really
made
sad.
An example mm-hmm. of, but
and it's embarrassing, but I'm telling you right now, if Christine Sinclair says they never saw drone footage, if Steph LeBay says they never saw drone footage.
Oh, I believe they never did.
I 100%
I believe the players never did.
I believe they never like, and maybe there's some question hints of it, but there's no way they were complicit. I just don't believe
I agree. And that's why I was, like, after my knee-jerk reaction or response, like, oh, the team should go down as a team. After I thought about it, I was like, no, they didn't even know. They likely did not even know. And
it doesn't
just
even, honestly, it doesn't even matter. You still have to execute against the other best players in the world. Stephanie LeBay still has to make that save. Kaylin Sheridan still has to make that save. Christine Sinclair still has to make that pass.
True.
They still have to get back defensively and play proper like formation defensively. At the end of the day, period, the players on the field have done what they've done and they are continuing to show like this is the best part. No matter what, you cannot take away what they've done because they've now made it to the quarterfinal after having two wins stripped from them.
It's unbelievable.
Period.
That is wild and, incredible. It's like Deflategate. It's like,
Drumgate.
There was deflated balls, but it actually doesn't really matter at the end of the day. Like, the other team, like, you don't
still
have that.
Still had to execute.
The thing is, at this level, everybody is looking for an edge and they're walking the line of within the rules, like to not being in the rules, right? Like every athlete that's at the Olympics, I really believe that. Like they are all looking for an edge, be it through whatever they're taking, how they're training.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that it's not all within the rules, but they're walking that line in probably a lot of cases. And I just don't think that these players should be held accountable for the coach's shitty decision.
Absolutely. Yeah. I am in agreement with that. Mm-hmm. I was curious what, you know, other players or other people in Canadian soccer thought about this mm-hmm. as well. So there is Diana Matheson who spoke out after this all went down. And And she said, it's been a hard week, to say the least, for Canadian women's soccer players, past and present. I haven't said much because I haven't really known what to say. Like many Canadians, I've been working through many emotions on the story that has become such a distraction for not just the WNT, but drawn attention away from the entire Canadian Olympic team. What I'm 100% clear on, though, is that I 100% stand with the players. The players that represent Canada, present and past, know exactly what it means to represent Canada, what it means to be a Canadian athlete. I'm with you. Canadians are with you. Last game, next game, all the games. We are right there with you. Take 6 points from us. Fine. Let's go get 9. Let's go, Canada. So good. She, Diana Matheson, legend of Canadian soccer for sure.
And you can see it in how they're playing. Like, they are playing exactly for each other. They are there to prove a point. They're there to show their pride, mm-hmm, and that they are not here because they are cheating.
Right.
And how much fun is it going to be to just watch this and just see what happens, right?
Yeah.
Against all odds, and like our girls with the country behind them, like just ready to run through walls.
So 100%. What were the consequences then? What were the actual, what was the punishment given to the coach?
A 1-year suspension for Bev Priestman and sent home. And then the two assistant coaches, I believe, have been let go.
Yeah.
But I don't know that for sure.
Well, there's no way Bev Priestman keeps the job.
No,
like, but that was the penalty.
Just like absolute zero trust.
It went from like, you are not allowed at this next game, to you are out of the games, to you are suspended for a year. And a huge fine. There is over $150,000 in fines.
Wow. Yeah.
And the one coach, the assistant coach who was caught with the drone, was arrested and sent home and fined because he was flying in a protected airspace.
Also, like, bold move flying a drone in there. Like, how is that not noticeable?
It's absolutely wild. It's like, if you told me that, I would laugh, because I'd be like, what? Who would do that?
If somebody was like, you know what we should do? We should fly a drone to spy on the other team. Everyone would burst out laughing and be like, okay. Like,
okay,
I mean,
but
if nothing,
like, you know,
else,
what?
Get like a
I
high.
I have to be really honest. I was just at a charity golf tournament, Mark Spector Golf Classic in Sport of Sports Central. Got to get that in there.
And you used a drone to
they had a drone, and it was zoomed in on the golf course. Could not hear it. Could not see
Interesting.
It.
Maybe, yeah.
Absolutely not. Can be miles away,
I guess. Okay. Right? And it's like a very large stadium. And
yeah.
That is a skilled drone operator.
Not what I was thinking. I was like,
Well, yeah. Like when we go to the park, you're like, oh, there's a drone
over
us.
Kite.
No, like you would have literally no clue. And then he's like, okay, I'll bring it back. And so we're all watching. And then all of a sudden you could hear it. And it was just like, that's insane. It was so far away, you couldn't hear it or see it. Like, let's just talk about the women domination of Canada. So Olympic wide, we talked about it last, that there is gender parity.
But, oh, yeah, we did. And the fact that, like, the women are killing it.
The Canadian women are killing it. And here's an example of that. So on Wednesday, Ilya Kuran won a bronze medal in the 200-meter fly. He is the first male Canadian swimmer to win a medal in an Olympic medal in 12 years.
Wow.
Whoa.
I remember I watched it and he touched the wall and he got the bronze. And I was like, I can't think of the last time I saw a Canadian swimming, like a male Canadian swimmer, win a medal.
Okay.
So it was 2012.
I have a question for you. Do Canadian male athletes suck at sports?
Well, I mean, we can only go off of what we've seen so far, so yes.
The women are absolutely killing it.
Yeah,
so
they are.
On day of recording, they have successfully won almost 3/4 of the medals that we've won so far.
Yeah, the women are really doing Canada proud right now. As I believe they did in the Winter Olympics too. I could be remembering.
There was one recently where it was like, it took like like 10 days for a Canadian man to win a medal.
Yeah, okay, crazy.
Yeah, no, I remember that.
So objectively, and to be fair, we are a rich country, and therefore we have more investment in women's sports.
There's advantages that come with that.
So when we look across the board, as far as like women winning versus men's winnings, That makes sense, but it still doesn't give rationale to why the men aren't winning anything.
I just think our women are elite. We just have incredible women athletes.
I don't know. That northern air.
Can we talk about Summer McIntosh? I know Quinn wants to talk about Summer.
Who's that?
I could talk about Summer. Summer.
What a fucking icon.
So as a former swimmer, I'm going to tell you right now, to be that good at so many different strokes is incredible. So Summer has already won a silver medal in the 400 freestyle. Of course, she absolutely dominated in the 400 IM individual medley, which I'm going to tell you right now is the most nauseating event you can swim. It is so hard. And then on Wednesday, she advanced to the final in the women's 200 meter fly as the top qualifier. So she's going in first. And so likely another medal.
Well, on day of recording, she has the potential. She could compete every day for the next like 5 days or something. She has potential to win like multiple more medals.
And just her talent in all those different strokes is absolutely incredible. It is so fun to watch. I am just like in such admiration of her, and
it's cool.
I'm so excited to watch her grow. She's 17 years old.
It's cool to hear you actually give that context around the medley. Because when she was talking about in her post-win interview, she was saying how this was my favorite event as a kid. First of all, I was like, you are a kid.
Teenager.
When I was 11, 12, like this was my favorite event. I've always loved this event. So that's really cool to hear. I didn't know that this is actually.
It is so hard. It is so hard because you do 100 meters of each stroke.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'll tell you another little tidbit. 200 fly, also another one of the probably hardest events on the planet when it comes to swimming. My first time being entered into 200 fly at a swim meet, I stopped at the 50 meter mark because I had anxiety and felt like I couldn't breathe, in which I got out of the pool and my coach told me that I will swim it over and over again until I finish it. Learned a hard lesson. I just did it after that. And then I swam it many times after that, but it's a hard and scary and intimidating event. So for her to say, like, that's just why she is where she is. Her mental resilience is incredible.
I know we've seen the memes. I do have a friend at work who says that for years he's been saying that we need an average citizen in every event to do it first.
Yes.
And then the Olympians.
Just to see the difference. Yeah, so we have a baseline.
Yeah, so like you will go out and do that 200 fly, because I'm saying it like I can talk like that, 200 meter butterfly.
100%.
And you just
drown.
Splash your fucking way through there.
Immediately drowns. And they're like, well, we lost one citizen in this experiment.
We'll give you some like puddle jumpers or something, you know.
Well, to give you an example, let me give you an example. When I was like 13 or 14 years old, so Summer McIntosh's time was 4:27.71, which was a slow time. They're talking about how the pool is very slow. That wasn't her fastest time. So when I was probably 14 years old, my 400 IM time was around the 6 minute mark.
Yeah.
And I was a competitive swimmer at that time. Not obviously this elite, mm-hmm. but that will give you an idea. I was a minute and a half slower than her.
That's
how. So a minute and a half, I would be 100 meters behind her.
Wow. Yeah.
I would be just going from breaststroke to freestyle, and she would be touching the wall, finishing freestyle.
Unreal.
And I would have sunk to the bottom like a rock. One sport that I think, you know, there's always like every person sitting at home on their fat ass, me, I'm talking about myself, mm-hmm. With like Cheeto crumbs all over themselves. So it's like, you know, I can do that. Nobody.
Hawkins or?
Oh, I'm a like a Cheetos brand because I like Flamin' Hot and jalapeno.
Hawkins for life.
Confed pool vending machine.
Oh my God.
No, cool. I need the like spice. I need to like burn my mouth off. So the one sport I think not a single person viewing at home thinks, oh, you know, I could try that, or I could give that a go, is gymnastics. I am like, it is I don't even know how to describe it. It's not even human how they perform and what they do with their bodies.
100%.
Simone Biles, what a treat that
we're watching
get,
a
what
unicorn.
What a treat that we get to watch the greatest to ever do it at the Olympics. Like, I mean, yeah, she's not Canadian, but who doesn't root for Simone Biles? Actually, it would be silly to root for anyone else. Mm-hmm. Like, it's mm-hmm. that's a runaway. So that's been really cool to watch, in my opinion.
Absolutely. Women's rugby sevens. I was almost late for work because I couldn't turn away from the semifinal game against Australia.
That has been really
actually,
exciting.
Time out. Am I the only person here that thought sevens meant it was seven aside? Not that it was 2 7-minute halves.
To be honest, I never thought about it. I was just like, they just call it rugby sevens.
I don't know.
I thought it meant like it was 7v7. And then I found out, I was like, I can't believe they're playing again already. And you're like, well, they're only 7-minute halves.
So yeah.
Like, what?
14-minute games. Yeah.
That is crazy. It's so, yeah, that is wild. That
but it's the coolest
it's
thing.
It's like a
what
14-minute WWE wrestling
yes.
match.
Well, and
rugby
what
is so fun to watch.
Yes.
What a rugby sevens.
Yes.
Is.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Yes.
Because and what I realized that I love so much is there's so little room for error. Because if you give up a try or you get down too far, you don't have a lot of time to get back in it. Mm-hmm. That's freaking cool. But just watching them, the excitement, you know, from ninth place, ranked ninth to a silver medal. Absolutely incredible. And of course, like beating a dominant rugby nation in Australia, right? So that was fun.
Big time. Okay, you know who I am obsessed with, or one of my favorite TikTok follows? Not Canadian team, but Ilona Mar, I don't know, on the American team. She's hilarious and I love her and she's really fun to watch on TikTok. So anyway, that I've gotten more into rugby sevens as the days progress.
It wasn't until I want to say 2001 I was in Australia for the Rugby World Cup, and that's when I fell in love with rugby. It was hard not to. It is such an incredible sport, and it doesn't get enough credit in North America.
Yeah.
I really don't think it does. As a soccer player, all the rugby girls thought we were such wimps.
Oh, I could see that. Yeah.
And I can see it now too. I mean, even when I was playing in university, girls would come in that played on the rugby team and they'd have like bruises the size of their entire quad. And
yeah.
They'd be like, I rolled my ankle.
I dislocated my knee playing rugby.
I have actually decided that I will no longer be watching men's soccer because after watching like women's soccer, rugby, like literally anything else, any
swimming.
Other teams.
Swimming is tougher.
I just can't anymore with the theatrics.
I'm with
and
you.
It's like, you guys are so fucking soft, so I can't do it anymore. Okay, we are going over time, so let's...
I want to talk about the Biles-Skinner beef. Okay, so I wanted to circle back on Simone Biles because, yes, she is not only an absolute, like, rocket, but she draws such a crowd, too. Like, I saw... Who did I see? Serena Williams was watching her. John Legend's watching her.
Everybody
like,
wants a glimpse.
She is bringing out everyone. And that aside, and good for her, huge fan. I'm with you on that, Paulina.
Good for her.
Good for you.
But what I'm more interested in at this very moment is the social media beef that's happening between her and former teammate Michaela Skinner of the 2020 Olympics.
Explain.
So Michaela Skinner had a YouTube video that, and I quote, said, "Besides Simone Biles, I feel like the talent and the depth just isn't like what it used to be. Just notice, like, I mean, obviously a lot of girls don't work as hard. The girls just don't have the work ethic." That's what she said in the video that she then deleted.
And today, or...
So then, after Tuesday's team win, Biles, the most decorated... That win made Biles the most decorated gymnast in USA history.
Yeah.
And she did that with a team event. And so she posted a photo of the team celebrating with the American flag. And it said, and I quote, "Lack of talent, lazy Olympic champions."
Ooh. The tea is hot. The tea is hot.
It's so good. And then guess how Skinner got back at her?
What?
Blocked her.
She blocked her.
Oh, my God.
So then Simone Biles tweeted, oops, got blocked.
Yeah.
Okay.
So
I mean,
Simone is out for blood.
First
and
of all,
I
Simone
am
is
here for
a
it.
Fucking badass bitch.
No doubt.
Honestly.
And great taste in football players. Green Bay.
That's right.
I just think that, like, how do you chirp someone on your own team? Like, I can't imagine going through what Olympians go through as a teammate and then shit on them in the public eye like that.
Well, and this is like, here's the thing that bugs me. This is like classic female pettiness. And like, honestly, after watching Love Island, I thought we were beyond that. Because like, the girls were supporting the girls, you know?
Yeah.
And
Love
we're
Island,
doing that now.
Love Island is the display of girlhood on that show is incredible.
I thought we were doing that now. Yeah. Michaela, we're not petty anymore. Lift other women up.
Maybe a little jealous. I don't know. I mean, Simone's out there.
You don't
there
look very good at that hat.
Ouch. Build each other up. Don't tear each other down, Quinn.
It. You know what? I was in shock mostly because I know I look amazing in this hat.
You look like Sabrina in that hat.
Sabrina Jalice, my doppelganger. Yeah, I mean.
Okay, so.
Whoa. One sec.
Whoa.
Simone's literally out there getting new moves in gymnastics named after her.
She's got two.
Two. The Simone, the Biles 2.
Biles 1 and Biles 2.
And what is Skinner doing? Chirping her from her Instagram from home?
And obviously the far less elite Skinner in the athletic world.
There's two.
Stewart,
and then there's everyone else.
There's Stewart, then there's Jeff, because we got the new Skinner.
Right.
And then there's everybody else with the last name Skinner.
100%.
I want to tell you the movie version of what actually happened here that actually kind of acts as like a vision, if you will, for this beef that's happening. To me, it's Pitch Perfect 1. Yes. Excuse me.
Oh, God.
That's Michaela Skinner.
No, not the excuse me.
Okay,
she's
fair.
Michaela Skinner. I don't know what her name is.
Wait, who plays Christina? Who plays, who's that really annoying actress? Anna Kendrick. Who plays her? Who's the Anna Kendrick?
That's the Simone Biles in this scenario.
Okay. And a little insulting, but yeah, I get
no,
what you're
saying. No, because
she
is like the edgy, talented, no bullshit, not here for any of your drama. And then there's the Bell. I can't remember. Is that what they were called? The Bells or something?
Yeah.
Who are the like tight, like you're not trying hard enough. You're not working hard enough. Am I right? Okay.
Yeah.
Whatever. I thought it was a good reference.
Obviously, I don't watch Pitch Perfect, but
I'm just trying
imagine
to think of.
Who? Brittany Snow? I know the actor's in it.
Who's the?
The blonde. Right?
Brittany Snow.
Yeah, Brittany Snow. The other one.
The other one.
Brittany Snow was like the cool one. Another annoying. Is everyone in this movie annoying?
Anna Camp.
Yeah.
She plays Aubrey.
Yeah.
And Aubrey is a tight ass bitch.
Okay, Simone Biles ever says, excuse me, I'll drown myself in that pool Okay.
We're going to put you, enter you into the 400 IM.
Michaela does. We're
if Simone,
I give you permission.
If Simone says, excuse me,
enter me
in the 400 individual.
Do you know what Simone would never say? That. She would never fucking say that. Literally never. Nor was that my reference. She was on.
I know what you're saying. It's like the two rival. I'm sorry.
Once again,
I don't
erect the reference.
I'm just trying to understand the reference. It's two competing.
Shut up.
Vocalists.
I mean, it's Tonya Harding and.
Is it though?
That's what I thought.
Is it though?
On CBC.
Because it's okay, here's my issue with the reference to begin with. Because are they even really rivals? Like, is Skinner even remotely Simone Biles equal in this playing field?
She's obviously just bitter because she was at the 2020 game.
She's not
and
good.
Simone didn't have her best game. So
Tonya Harding.
Now she's just sour. She's salty.
Tonya Harding was equal to the girls.
Nancy Kerrigan.
Thank you.
I've got to watch that movie again.
That movie is great.
So good.
But that's what I mean. I'm like, okay, those are two like rivals. Like one wins one, the other wins one. One wins one. And that's probably what happens in the singing movie. But I'm like, Simone Biles doesn't think about this person at all.
I think this is their own new movie is what we're discovering.
You know what? We do need the movie version of this.
Yeah.
Yeah, we do. I think that's what we're really getting at here.
I do want Rebel
Simone
Wilson
Simone Biles?
Too hard.
No, let's think. I don't know any young people, young actors.
She's only, what, she's 27 years old? And also, she's doing, like, a lot for, like, that's old in gymnast years.
Yeah.
And her and the Canadian, do you know her name?
Ellie Black?
Yeah. I mean, together, they are trying to transform the narrative around what it means to be a woman gymnast
that competes
at this level.
Well, whoever would play her in the movie, and eventually this movie would have an incredible Oscar run, I can only assume, that actress would need to be fit as fuck. Like, they need to...
No, it would have to be Simone Biles.
Yeah.
As Simone Biles.
And then maybe they just, like, swap her in for competition.
And then Michaela Skinner is just...
It's basically like a Tyler Perry production. It's like produced by Simone Biles, starring Simone Biles, written and directed by Simone Biles, also starring Simone Biles.
As herself
and her co-star, Simone Biles.
We should wrap this up.
Yeah, but this has gone on far too long.
Okay, well, I can't wait for what's to come. XOXO, go Canada.
Go Canada, go Olympics.
We'll see you on another time.
And we'll see you on another time.
We will definitely see you another time.
Thank you for listening to The Bits. You can follow us at The Bits Yeg on Instagram. And subscribe, tell your friends. You can find us on Spotify and Apple Podcasts.